Good morning. This is the Thursday Morning Zine on KSJD. It's another episode of The River Trip. I'm Tom Yoder, sitting in for Leanne Hill this morning. Spring runoff in rivers across the Four Corners this year has been met with mixed reaction from boaters. River levels in the Upper Dolores River this spring allowed for some cold but decent floats, but further downstream on the Colorado River, boaters are seeing lower flows than they have seen in several years. This morning, we're going to hear firsthand about how spring flows looked this year and speculate a bit about what it means as we head into the summer months and beyond. Joining me in the studio this morning are Andy Hutchinson and Josh Munson. They're both board members at Dolores River Boating Advocates. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tom. Nice to see you.
Thanks, Josh. Josh, let's start with you. You were able to float a little bit this spring so far, some on the Upper Dolores and also on the San Miguel Rivers. Can you talk a little bit about what your experiences were like floating this spring?
Well, really fun, enjoyable, of course, and very different in many respects. The first trip we did on the upper stretch of the Dolores was on April 27th, the weekend that we got a huge snowstorm. And myself and good friends Clay Talmadge and Sam Carter went up to Bear Creek Trail, and we put in our three rafts, and there was 5 inches of snow everywhere. It was more like a bobsled luge run to get to the river than it was carrying rafts. We put on our ditch boots and we floated 7 hours down into Dolores from Bear Creek. Early spring, that stretch of river is very tight. It's very active. There's lots of private land. There's very little public access. So, and there can often be trees that have fallen into the river from the winter or from the spring winds. So we took along, you know, chainsaws and loppers and wire cutters and whatever we needed to hopefully get down the river safely. There were no obstacles really to say too much in the river. All the fences were down. The ranchers had taken them down, and there weren't any big logs sticking over the river. So that was an awesome day. Quite a dream float, really, because you're just cruising along in Candyland, and it's, you know, fluffy white snow everywhere. It's hard to sort of reconcile the different experiences. You feel like you should have your, you know, ski helmet on rather than your kayak helmet on. Or, so that was a really early trip, and the upper section of the Dolores got a lot of action this year from local boaters. I think it's becoming more known as a really enjoyable stretch of river. So from Bear Creek, either down to Big Rock, which is just upstream from Dolores, or all the way into town. Did several trips with multiple different people. Really fun. Again, the river channel is a lot narrower. There's more obstacles, and it's just a lot more active. I saw lots of people headed up that way this year. Stoner Stampede Rapid, the kayakers were all over it and loving it. Just a beautiful stretch of river. It's a nice alpine stretch that's just gorgeous up there. Really enjoyable.
And what about your float on the San Miguel River that you took down the San Miguel and then you hit the Dolores down below the McPhee Dam?
Right. So the lower Dolores is really from the dam down to the confluence with the San Miguel isn't boatable on years like this where we've had drought and the reservoir doesn't get full. They don't release enough water to allow a large raft or even a canoe down the river. But the San Miguel River has no dam and it comes out of Telluride. So it a lot of the snow that ends up in that river is water, is north-facing slopes that melt off a little bit later than the Dolores does. So it's actually still, I just checked the river gauge right now, and it was at 900, 1,000 CFS. So it's still boatable over there. There's some stretches that are more kayak-friendly below Telluride, but then we put in 4 rafts at Naturita Town Park, which was kind of odd for the people of Naturita. These two teenage girls came up and were like, "What are you doing?" And we said, "Well, we're going to go boating." And they pointed to the river and they said, "In that?" And we were like, "Yeah, that's what we do, right?" They just thought it was going too fast and was too dangerous. And it was really lovely. So there's about a 20-mile stretch from Naturita down to the confluence of the lower Dolores. And then there's another 33 miles that you can do all the way to Gateway. And if you've got the time, you could actually float all the way to Moab and meet up with the Colorado River. So we put in at Naturita. We boated all day. It's about 20 miles. And one of the most interesting moments was when we met the confluence of the Dolores and the San Miguel River, because you're on a live, living river, the San Miguel, no dams. And it's just, it feels natural and is flowing, and its hydrograph follows the natural sort of cold at night and warm during the day pattern, and there's nothing mechanical about it. Then you float by the Dolores, which has got the dam at McPhee, and the contrast is just amazing. There was only about 100 CFS in the Dolores as we went by. It was stagnant. It looked brackish. It looked dead in many respects compared to the active river that we were flowing on. It was sad, of course. As a boater, I shed a few tears and was like, boo-hoo. And then we just kept going, and you go by the historic Hanging Flume down there and Gateway Canyon, the Red Rock Country. There's some great hikes to do. And then, you know, Gateway is a pretty nice place to take out. And it's also a very easy shuttle. The buyer beware, many of the camps that are marked on the most common river map either aren't there or they haven't been used since 2011, which was the last time that the Lower Dolores really flowed. So if you're going to go, I would suggest taking some loppers and some clippers and or be prepared to pull weeds. One of my favorite camps had some sort of mustard grass or mustard plant that they were probably 4 or 5 feet tall, just everywhere. So we couldn't camp there. The other one we went to was, you know, taken over by cheatgrass. So people just really aren't aware that that's an available river trip. It's there for people to use. There's no permit, and it's really gorgeous. The shuttle's very easy, and you'll be by yourself. I mean, you're next to the road, but you hardly ever notice it other than the Harley riders cruising by and, you know.
And, of course, you have to carve out your own campsite.
Right, exactly. So get out there and use that. You know, the more people know about the Lower Dolores, the more advocates we have for the river itself.
All right. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is the Thursday Morning Zine. This is another episode of The River Trip here on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. I'm sitting in for Leanne Hill this morning, and my guests are Josh Munson and Andy Hutchinson this morning. They're both board members at the Dolores River Boating Advocates. And Andy, let's turn to you now, because you've been in the much lower part of the river basins down in the Colorado River below Lake Powell. Talk about what you're seeing down there and your experiences this spring.
Well, I've had just got back from my second trip of the season being as a commercial guide down there. And kind of the what we're we've been seeing really these past couple of years, they are cutting back on flows. It's an interesting juxtaposition. You know, we, as boatmen, of course, we download the hydrographs along with a lot of other information prior to launching on these trips. And, you know, looking at the flows at Lake, above Lake Powell, currently, for example, you know, you've got, I think it's running about, Cataract Canyon is running at about 55,000 cubic feet per second. The flows in Grand Canyon have been averaging about 8,000 cubic feet per second. So 8,000, you know, they are fluctuating flows down there. We're used to that because of the hydropower releases from Glen Canyon Dam. They sell power daily. The flows during the weekdays are a bit higher during the week, and then the weekends the flows are lower. A lot of boatmen, a lot of newer boatmen that work in Grand Canyon have just been adjusting to lower flows and bringing extra props for their motors. The motor boatmen, we beef up our repair kits for our dory boats, which is the type of vessel I typically guide in down there, the hard hull boats. We scout a lot more, and the pools in between the rapids are much longer. For example, this last trip we had some upstream winds, you know, in combination with the lower flows, and we called it molasses water. You know, when you get used to the higher flows, you know, typically it goes into the upper teens in the summertime. They have to send a required amount of acre feet of flow down to the lower basin. You just adjust. You have to stay on schedule, and you row more, and just gut it out. But that's why they pay us the big bucks.
Andy, is this how does this contrast with what you've seen over the last 5 years? Is this kind of like a slow continuation of this more managed water flows and boaters just doing whatever they can to just keep these trips going?
Yeah, it's of course the trips in Grand Canyon sell themselves. They're booked. Usually most companies, the 15 companies that operate down there, and private trips, they have doubled the private launches down there. Huge demand for trips, and so you have to stay on schedule. What we're seeing is people just adjusting to those lower flows. They did mandate back in Washington, I think 2 years ago, they decreased the acre footage by 1 million acre feet that they annually have to send down to the lower basin. For example, it used to be a requirement of 9 million acre feet, and I think it's down to 7 or 8 million acre feet now that is required to be sent downstream from through the reservoirs, starting at Lake Powell and on down through Hoover Dam, Parker and Davis Dams, down in the lower basin in the Imperial Valley area. Basically, it's conservation issues, and that's what we're dealing with the drought situation, and that's what you teach passengers on the river. I mean, you're literally flowing on that water that is so dependent by many different factions downstream, not just agriculture, but of course municipalities, Las Vegas. You know, maybe they're going to turn more and more fountains off and drain a swimming pool or two. There was a passenger on my last trip that reminded me that there are I think 243, something like that. For some reason, that number stuck in my head, golf courses in Phoenix. And so I think that's what we're looking at is conservation. And at Dolores River Boating Advocates, that's what we're teaching. We're doing, you know, programs for kids and teaching conservation, and really appreciating every drop of water that we have out here in our arid West. So
this is the Thursday Morning Zine on KSJD. It's another episode of The River Trip. I'm Tom Yoder. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. Stay with us. And we're back. This is the Thursday Morning Zine on KSJD. It's another episode of The River Trip. I'm Tom Yoder, sitting in for Leanne Hill this morning. Joining me in the studio this morning are Andy Hutchinson and Josh Munson. They're both board members at Dolores River Boating Advocates. We've spent most of our time this morning talking about what the rivers are looking like, particularly in the upper basins in the Dolores and San Miguel rivers, and also downstream down in the lower basins below the dams, or at least certainly below Lake Powell in the Colorado River. I want to talk now about what Dolores River Boating Advocates is doing and how you guys are working to educate. Andy, you were talking a little bit just before the break, a little bit about some of the work you're doing with kids and trying to educate people around some of these conservation issues. What are the river issues just in general and the complexity of that? How are you guys going about doing that? And I'll start with you, Andy.
Well, we've had some different program, educational programs going, which we're pretty excited about. Some that have been in place for a while, but water quality testing, and which involves high school students going out and testing the water quality, and there are a couple of location sites for that, including one at the Breadfield Bridge area, and then you know, so you get some data below McPhee Dam, and also a site right here, right in the town of Dolores, above the dam, above the reservoir. And then Leave No Trace ethics, just educating the public about boating and boating safety, and just involving people in, you know, appreciating the fact that the river is this wonderful resource that we have right here available to us. So those are a couple of things off the top of my brain that I can think of.
Those are
we're
good,
on.
Good stuff, definitely. Yeah. And Josh, you know, it must be difficult because you've got all these demands on water right now, and it is such a complex. There's so many legal battles that are ahead of us, certainly. How do you elevate this idea that recreation and boating has a place in that discussion around using water in our rivers?
Well, it is frustrating because recreational boating does seem to be the sort of stepchild of the river use. And I think our main mission, which is to, again, with three parts, to optimize flows, restore the natural environment, and permanently protect the Dolores River for whitewater boating, we are definitely an advocacy group for the recreational side. While we do want to protect the natural environment, it's an uphill battle. Water flows downstream, and it doesn't really flow in our direction in this particular case. You know, the Dolores was, prior to our creation, a river that had no keeper or no monitor. Back in, I think it was 2011 or 2012, the BLM sort of cut funding for the River Ranger program, and Ranger Rick, who had been the manager and the father figure for that river for a very long time, retired. So we really started to focus in on what's it going to be like when the water will flow, because it will flow eventually when we get another sick powder year.
Woo-hoo.
So originally we trained a cadre of volunteer river rangers, and we anticipated some of that. And then as the year drug on, we realized that it wasn't just the lower Dolores that was our focus, but the whole river corridor itself. And we actually changed our name from the Lower Dolores Boater Advocates to the Dolores River Boating Advocates to encompass, you know, everything from Rico and Lizard Head on down to State Line Rapid and the Colorado-Utah state line. It is frustrating because we live in an arid place, like Andy was mentioning. We have the cycle of drought. And we know that municipalities, industry, and agriculture take a lot of water, and we're not against any of those parts of the economy or those people. We do wish that they would sometimes change some of their practices and be more conservation-oriented, because when the McPhee project went in, it was put in to provide irrigation water, but it was also put in, it was sold to recreational boaters as a way to manage the river and maintain recreational opportunities in the Lower Dolores, and that only happens when the reservoir fills up. So it is frustrating. We want to protect the river, both the upper and the lower stretches, so we're working actively to bring attention to the upper Dolores. We're working with the local rancher to put in a breakaway fence so that when the river does come up in the late summer because of rain, or in the fall like last year, you could still get on the river and not harm or run into fences on his property. We're trying to advocate and work with local land managers to get a better put-in on the upper Dolores. That's an important effort. And like Andy mentioned, working with school children, we've got some service learning projects planned for this fall and next spring. It's tough. It really is. We're passionate about what we do and the river that we want to protect. But it does seem like we're always the last puppy to get fed, or right, the last plant to be watered, whatever metaphor you want to use.
Yeah. Well, if people want to get involved or if they want to learn more, how do they get a hold of Dolores River Boating Advocates?
We're on the internet. We've got a website, DoloresRiverBoatingAdvocates.org. That's probably the best way. We also have a Facebook page. We'd love you to like that so we can send you updates and information. Those are the primary ways to get involved.
All right. Well, thanks you guys both for being here this morning. It was really nice talking with you and hearing about your experiences.
Thanks, Tom.